Here's where fools rush in, where angels fear to tread. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Boy, should we pray. Boy, should I pray. And I will. Father, it's your word. It's not embarrassing. It's not obsolete. It's not popular, especially in our culture. We get that. Father, we're not of this culture. We're of a different world. We have a different way of doing things. And we praise you and we thank you for this word. And we pray you'd bless it to our understanding. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse isn't in a vacuum. By the way, if you're not a wife, this isn't speaking to you. I was thinking I'll bring cornhole and guys can go out there and play. It isn't to you. It certainly doesn't say, husbands, make sure your wives submit themselves to you. It certainly doesn't say that. And if you can do something like have rocks in your head and be elbowing your wife and tell her, you know, what are you saying? You're dumb, okay? Don't do dumb things like that. It's not written in a vacuum. It's look, don't be drunk with wine. That's excess. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. Now, we talked about those are the only two options. Well, of course they're not. But like being drunk with wine, like yielding yourself to something inside you, an influence inside, like that, instead, don't yield to alcohol. Yield to the Holy Spirit of God. So I'm telling you, you're not going to be able to do this in the power of the flesh. Women, you can't, in the power of your flesh, submit to husbands any more than husbands in the power of the flesh can love you like Christ loved the church. Okay, that's a big ask. Possible in the power of the Holy Spirit, being Spirit-filled. In the power of my flesh, I'm just going to well up all my good intentions and double my efforts, white knuckle, I'm just going to be so giving and so gracious and so, you ain't going to be able to tell me from Jesus Christ. I'm going to do this all in the power of this sinful flesh. You're saying, that's ridiculous. That's my point. Now, every time this is read, historically, it's like water on a cat when you talk about a wife submitting. They don't want, but because I think there's a huge misunderstanding, and I'd like to clear that up. It shouldn't be an issue at all. It shouldn't be. This is God's, I think it's 11 verses here, are God's perfect plan for marriage. And when he speaks about marriage in other places, and we'll go there, we'll look at 1 Peter chapter 3. He doubles down. He doesn't change. Now, we might not like, as men and women, what it says about us, but we love what it says about our spouse. Why is that? Because God knows, like we don't always know, what our spouse needs. We've had situations before where we've done counseling. You say, yeah, I could see that. A pastor of a church would. What's the number one need of men? And a woman will almost invariably say, yeah, I know what their number one need is. Wrong. That's correct, but it's number two. Number one, respect. And I think this idea of submission answers the number one need in men. And women don't instinctively, intuitively know that. They have to be instructed. We're first not drunk with wine. We're filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be Spirit-filled? It means speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you're a worshiper. I'm not a worshiper. I'm not Spirit-filled. That's all. Well, that's not really my thing. It's not your thing to be Spirit-filled. Make it your thing. Make it a priority. Pray. It's a command that you can't do yourself, so you have to ask. But that's a really cool thing, because when we ask and we come to that place of we're not arrogant, we're not, our hands are empty, Lord, you got to fill us up. I don't have the wherewithal. Is that a prayer he answers? Yeah, only every time. And I think sometimes the only time I can say as I look back in my life, there are times when I've prayed for something and it didn't happen because God's like, I want to bless you. Oh, you have no idea how much I want to give this to you. I can't bless your rebellion. You change this part of your life and bring it under my sovereign guidance, and I will just slather grace all over you. He's a loving heavenly father. You can't bless rebellious children. You can't. You just can't, because then they're thinking, okay, I can rebel, I can throw a hissy fit, I can have my own way, and mom and dad will bless me. You can't do it. So we're spirit-filled, we're worshipers, we're thankful, right, grateful. Everything we get is better than we deserve. What do we deserve? You don't even want to go there. You don't even want to think about that. And everything we get is because God loves us. Thank you, Father. So we're grateful. And now everyone is submitting to everyone else. Everywhere, in every direction, there's submission. Wives, your part of it is to your husband. Now, someone will say to me, someone has said to me, Adam, that isn't even there. That's not even there in the original. And I thought, like, wives to your husbands? That's dumb. Don't we need a verb? You know, so I looked it up. I did some homework. They were right. It doesn't even say that. It says that we're all submitted in every direction to everybody. We live lives of submission to God, to others. Now, wives, your part in this submission is towards your husband. Now, what does it not say? Men are superior to women, and all women should listen to all men. No. In whatever venue of your life, and we have, so how are men submissive to their wives? By taking care of their emotional needs. But we'll take care of them next week, okay? You'll get your turn, guys. But here's what, so everyone's submissive in every direction. Now, I have submission. This is what happens in my life. In the venue of, like, the law, like the road, I have to obey laws, yields, stops, red lights, speed limits, because there's authority that I have to submit to in the government. I have to submit to all the laws. I can't steal. I can't do things that there's laws against. I have to submit. At work, I have a boss. I have to submit. And the word here means to line up under. It's a military term. Oh, hey, let me help you, because we weren't all in the military. I was. So you go to a boot camp, right? There's an authority. You learn that. Nobody cares about what you think. Nobody's asking your opinion. This is your opinion. I'll tell you what your opinion is, and you're going to do it. I'm going to say jump, and you're going to say how high. Is it like that? No. They're trying to break you down, trying to do certain things in the Marine Corps. But you'll find out, after all that silliness and all that, when you get out into the fleet, out into the Marine Corps proper, there are people above you who give you lawful orders, and you have to obey them. You don't have a place where you can debate. They might ask you, you know, in a situation that you might know something a little bit, they'll say, hey, what do you think about this? If they want to, but they say, do this, and you do this. And the penalty for not doing that is life doesn't go well. You can get court-martialed. You can get thrown in prison. You can get drummed out of the Corps. You can get a bad conduct or a dishonorable discharge. It's bad. It's bad. Stays with you your whole life. That's what the term he's saying. You're thinking, whoa. So I don't have any recourse? Yes. People can't give you orders. Authority can't give you orders that make you disobey God's law. Right? Your husband can't make you disobey God's law. You say, yeah, but I don't like the way this is going already, because I'm thinking, like, one, I don't want to say this, but I'm smarter. Possibly. I'm looking around the room. Yeah, okay, we'll give you that. Some of the women might say, well, I'm more spiritual. In almost every case, I'll give you that. No, every case, I'll give you that. Yep, no problem, no doubt. But that's not a way out. That's not a loophole. That's not a, here's what you do. Just do everything except when you're smarter, then you don't have to. No. Or everything where you, and by the way, this is a good place to bring that up. First Peter, we said we were going to go there, right? First Peter chapter 3. By the way, that's not in a vacuum either. He's talking about Christ, verse 24 of 1 Peter chapter 2, who his own self bore not his own not sins in his own body. Wait, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were sheep as going astray, but now ye are returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise, in like manner, Jesus being submissive to the Father is the point there. Ye wives, be in subjection, submissive in subjection. Okay, you want to quibble about terminology there. You be in subjection to your own husbands. Again, not to all men, just to your husbands. And you're saying, well, I'm spiritual, my husband's not. That if they obey not the word, read here, not born again, they also may without the word be won by the conversation, by the lifestyle of their wives. That submissive lifestyle is a very winning characteristic. So it's the same thing. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel. Let's put that aside for now. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trust in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. I love that verse. I told my wife, this is something you ought to memorize. A little 3x5 card, you know, index card on the mirror every day. Just a few days, you'll have it. I did this, I want you to call me Lord from now on. I was thoroughly joking, and she was appalled. Lord, and I said, not the Lord. And I showed her this verse, look at small L, Lord. And so you go around a couple weeks after, yes, my Lord, small L, she'd always say, and that was the joke for a while at our house. But I don't really want to be called Lord, not really, not master or sir or anything. But I want an attitude. I want an attitude that looks at me like, Lord. I don't know how else to say it. Not the Lord, like master, if that's better. I want an attitude that says, that's all. And I don't want to hold us up, but I think I have that. I'm very happy with that, the way things go in my house. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. You don't have to be afraid to be submissive. What if he asked me to do something that's wrong, inappropriate, or godless? You don't have to obey that. But, and then of course, we're going to talk about men. See, in my house, and I think this is a good way to be, I'm the master of my house. I'm the boss. And what I say goes. You idiot. Shut up. You obnoxious little snot. No, the master of my house is Jesus Christ. And what I say is what I think he wants me to do. And I can. So here's a decision. Hey, let's talk about this. Because I'm going to have to give answer to him later on for how I treated her. What do you think about this? And she, who's as intelligent as me, who's I think, more spiritual than me. She's a very sagacious person. And if I cut myself, she's like, shut up, you don't know anything. That is so stupid. I'm not, I have an asset there that I'm not using. And then she talks to me, I say, oh, I didn't think of that. And now the way I was going, now it's slightly varying this way. I still think God's called, but now I have to incorporate what she said. Or she's making perfect sense. I agree 100%, but honey, at the end of the day, I really still feel like God has called me this to do this. What do you do? What God has called, a man's got to do what a man's got to do. A man's got to do what God has told him to do. And that's all I'm asking. Am I smarter? No. Have I made mistakes? Oh, let's not go there. Because this is what I get. Oh, yeah? Well, what about the time you, what, messed up? That's a given. Listen, I want you to think, guys, I want you to think of a time when you did something that was, I could tell you, it's so colorful. It was, and we'd all just sit here and laugh at your stupidity. Oh, we've all done the same thing or something like this. So now, women, you don't have to submit because a guy makes mistakes. No. Men can make mistakes, but that doesn't change anything. Have you ever been in the service where your sergeant or something, take that hill, Marine, and you get shot up and that's a mistake. It's not going to work out. That don't matter. We don't argue. We don't debate. We don't vote on it. This is it. Do it. You're saying, Adam, is it really that open and shut? If we want to make this, I want you to obey your husbands every time you think he's right. That's not how. Look at what it says. Submitting, wife, submit yourselves unto your husband as unto the Lord. I only obey Jesus when I agree with him. Well, that's the problem in the church right now. I'm really into obedience when I want to go that way anyway. I can't remember how many times I've said, like, you know, we've been talking about this thing and I've said, it's easy to obey your husband, to submit to your husband when he says, hey, you know, honey, you need a new car. This whole thing, you can't be driving that, right? You can be driving my grandkid and this guy. I'm going to buy you now. Then all of a sudden, we're Mrs. Submissive. Oh, it's so easy. When, and by the way, guys, this is a very large hint. If you want your wife to follow her, lead her in a way that she wants to go. Hello? But beyond all that, because she's got a nice car and we don't need to buy one right now, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, that aside, when you're just going where when he's leading just where you want him to go anyway, it's easy to follow. But that's got nothing to do with, because there's a lot of times when I have to do what I have to do. Look, I got a boss at work. He says, do this. I say, yep, right away to the best of my ability. Do I want to do that? Sometimes. Sometimes, oh, are you kidding me? I have to do that. Do I complain? Do I cry? No, I just do what I'm told to do, because that's the deal. They give me money. That's how it works. And they have somebody over me. We can't have, it's like there's 119 guys on days. I don't know how many is on nights. We have 119 different ideas of how this thing should be built. There's a command central, and they disseminate information. It comes down to us peons, the guys turning the wrenches and the screwdrivers. And we do what we're told, and it all comes out good. We can't have, and you can't have, in the home, you can't have a two-headed, that's a monster, that's a monstrosity. It just doesn't work that way. You're saying, Adam, I don't see, you know, I think you can debate, I think you can question, but I think when you're headed, two people, very, very strong-willed people, headed right towards each other, one's got to stop, or it's just going to be a collision. It's going to be very ugly. And God says, I've made the man to be the head of the house. Can I give you an example of this? Gabriel comes to a woman named Mary, says, hey, how about it? We've selected you. God has selected you among all women to bear the... You in? She's like, yeah. And then God stops talking to her. saying, I don't see that. I do. Do you remember? Now she's espoused to a man named Joseph. By the way, espoused is different than do we submit to our boyfriend? Decidedly not. But if you're going to marry, you have to think, this guy, at some point, I'm going to follow his lead. I have to, I think, and if I would never listen to anything he said, that's a big warning sign. Don't go there. Okay? But no, but this is a spousal, this is different. If they go their separate ways, there has to be a divorce. Okay, livestock has changed hands, things have been signed, they are espoused one to another. So they have to be divorced to separate. It's more than our engagement. It's quite a little bit less than our marriage. And the only way it's less than our marriage is consummation. It hasn't happened yet. That's the whole thing. So now God is dealing with them through him. Hey, rise up. Go to Egypt. You're going to kill your little stepson here. Is God leading Mary? Yes, through Joseph. So Joseph goes and says, hey, we got to go to Egypt, like right now. They are going to come in. And by the way, they're married at this point, I think. This is after he's alive by maybe as many as 2 years. So the angel comes and he talks to Joseph in a dream and says, we got to get out of here. Now what does Mary say? Oh, we ain't leaving our friends and our family. You want me to go to Egypt? They build in stone there. You're a woodworker. You're not even going to be able to get a job. What's going on here? No, none of that. God is moving like and blessing what he set up. And Mary's life is saved. The baby's life is saved. Joseph is the hero here. And he's following God. Now, what happened in the house? Did she say, you sure about this, Joe? Did she say that? I think she can. In my house, if my wife said to me, are you sure you're hearing God on this? I'll pray some more, honey. I think so. That's allowed. You don't ever question me. You guys know I'm not like that, right? But some guys are more authoritarian. I wish everyone was loving and kind and, you know, some guys aren't. I wish they would be. I don't know if I'm speaking to anyone here. I think everyone here is pretty much. This doesn't happen every day. It's not like she gives me her game plan and I say, I don't know about this. What are you going to do from one? Okay, we'll let that. It's not going to happen like every day. Sometimes I'll say, no, honey, I feel strong about this. And she'll give me her opinion. And it's very, very welcome in my house. And I'll say, okay, I understand what you're saying. I understand your objections. And this is what we're going to do. Because I've had the prayer time. I have a sense as God's leading. That's it. And this verse says, listen, I've set up a certain, I don't have to speak to you. I don't have to speak to your heart. If he does that, great. If he doesn't, because, you know, here's the other thing too. She's spirit-filled, and we're praying, and God's moved me in a certain direction. Don't you think he's kind of softening her heart? Maybe he wants to test her and say, okay, he's an idiot, but whatever, I've chosen him to lead the house, do what he says. It can do that if he wants. Why is there a big attack on marriage here, by the way? Why is God always trying to break? Yeah, God. I say dumb things. Why is Satan always trying to break up marriage? Because God invented it. You see the wide-scale assault on marriage in America in the 21st century? You have to, unless you're not paying attention at all. And if you don't know that there's, an attack on marriage, shame on you. You have to at least know something. Why is that? One, God invented it. Two, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, talking about the bride of Christ, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's a great mystery. Oh, but I'm speaking concerning Christ and the church. Wait, what? All the time he was talking about Christ and the church, and we thought he was talking about husbands and wives. No, your marriage is a picture of Christ's union with the church. How do you get to be married to Christ? You become a member of the church. Salvation. And that's a picture. It's such an intimate union. The only representation God has to liken it to anything else. It's not like brothers. No, brothers are close. I got four of them, okay? I understand what it is to be a brother, okay? Sisters are close, okay? I understand that. Parents are close to children. It's not like that. It's like that one. You only have one, if you're doing it right, one flesh relationship for your whole life. And I'm not trying to get anyone, if you've been divorced, so I'm not trying to get anyone feel guilty about or anything like that. And put that on the back burner of your mind, because I'm going to get right back to that. But there's only one, if you do this right, one flesh relationship in your life. And that's intimacy, that's union, that's so close, so intense, that the only thing that God can compare his relationship, Christ's relationship with church, is marriage. That's why once you get married, you have a target on your back and you'll become Satan's enemy, because he's trying to eliminate the gospel. He doesn't want people to get saved. And I was talking to somebody just at work, I think it was Friday, it might have been Thursday, and we were talking about marriage, and like, why don't you marry her? You're living with her, you know. I'm saying, why don't you marry her? Well, I think, you know, and all this nonsense and all this stuff like this. And he was saying that Christians get divorced as often as non-Christians do. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all. Christians can. Christians do. Christians mess up as much as. But that happens also. But I don't think it happens daily at that rate. It shouldn't even be named among us at all. But sometimes it is. And that raises another thing, too. So my first marriage, it went really bad, a lady will say. I was married to a pig who was hitting on every last. He hit on my sister, and she told me about it. What a knucklehead he was. And I found out that he was sleeping around, blah, 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 and she left him. Good. Maybe good, right? Right? I mean, maybe, probably. And now, because she's been burned, okay, I'm never going to trust another guy like that. I can say it's one bad apple. Doesn't mean marriage is bad. Another situation at work, a girl living with a guy, and why doesn't he marry you? Because I always poke my nose in where it doesn't belong. Because I think it does belong. And I say, why don't he marry you? Well, his mother married a loser, so he doesn't have that much, you know, faith in marriage. I said, well, so which one are you? What do you mean? Are you the loser that in this relationship, or is he, or, and his mother made a bad choice, so he's got to make a bad, that doesn't even make sense. She's like, That's why I butt in. I get people something to think about. No, marriage isn't obsolete. It's wonderful. It's the best thing in the world. It's heaven on earth if you're doing it right. I'm looking around, a lot of you guys know. It's a wonderful thing. Is there a bad side? Oh, yeah, there can be. I'm not unaware of different situations. Yeah, it can be very, very bad. And it's one of those, it's hell on earth or heaven on earth, and really anything in between. I say rarely. Back to submitting wives. So what we're called on to do here is very easy. I mean, you have to be spirit-filled to do it, but I should say it this way. It's very simple. If you have a great marriage, if you're not rocking it, it's not because you don't understand the material. It's always a problem with the will. Let's look at my part, because my part doesn't say, make sure your wife, lecture her every day. You better submit to me. I don't know that verse. Matter of fact, I try to pull that out. That would go very, very bad. And it should. But I know my part is I'm supposed to love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, I understand that intellectually, easy peasy. But I want what I want, and I'm not willing to give that up. Now we're having a problem. It's a problem of the will. It's not a problem of the intellect ever. I talk about people. You know, it's kind of easy to fix marriage a lot of times. Really, if you're outside, you're objective, and most people say, yeah, that's the way forward. It really, really is. But you know what happens when we get into a situation like that, and our emotions are involved, and I can't, I don't want to, you know, tell her I was wrong, and now I, you know how it is. But I mean, if somebody like outside, they could easily put their finger on the problem. Why? Because it's simple. Love, respect. And by the way, if you don't see that parallel, there's no way she can respect me more than saying, well, he's a good man, he makes good choices. I don't know if this is going to work out. He's not perfect, he's not Jesus, but I'm going to follow him. And Lord, you know what I'm working with here, help him out. It'll be all right. If we make a decision that's financially stupid, oh, I've made plenty of them. We live through them. Well, I zig when I should have zagged. I'll re-zig later. I mean, it's not a perfect world. It's not, I don't have all the facts. I'm going, I'm praying, I'm trying to do the best I can. And her saying, I you're a good man. I know you wouldn't take me at a place that God doesn't want you to go. I know you wouldn't purposefully do that. What she's saying is like, I trust you. I've got to make the best decision I can then, right? And I come to the front. And I think it's a wonderful thing. Now, if every time I try to, I was kind of debating on, but I just, again, I'm in for a penny, might as well be in for a pound. Do you know in Scripture it talks about after the fall, and we've talked about this several times, Adam, where are you? Where are you now in light of the choices you've made? Where are you, Eve? No, where are you, Adam? Chapter 4, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain. Genesis 4, right? And then Abel in verse 2. They both worship God. Cain worships God in his own way, fruit of the ground. Abel bought the firstlings of the flock. Say, the fruit of the ground, is that bad? Yeah, it doesn't bleed. It obviously wasn't what God wanted, not at this juncture. God had respect to Abel and his offering, but Cain to his offering, he had no respect. So the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Now that's King James, and we have a little trouble with that. Sin is trying to control you, is what God's saying, but you have to master it. Sin is trying to order your life and be the boss of you and make you do what sin wants you to do. That's what God's saying. Saying, yeah, okay, I can see that. Why is that important? Because at the end of chapter 3, you know, Adam, this is how it's going to be. You're going to, the sweat of your brow, you're going to eat your dinner, and it's not going to go well. What do you say to the woman? Pain in childbirth, and I can't find it. Thank you. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. Sorrow shalt thou bring forth children. Anyone ever argue that? Did anyone ever debate with me? Oh, I had children. It was like, like a walk in the park. It was like a, you know, it was like drinking a lemonade on the beach. That's what it was like. I just lay down, spit out the kid, you know, finish my shift at the factory. It was nothing. It was nothing at all. No woman has ever told me that once. Why? Because God knows what he's talking about. And he says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. He's going to want to be your boss, and you're going to want to be his boss. That's part of the fall, and God said it. And it's the same exact language he says to Cain. Now, we understand sin's trying to rule over Cain. And he's saying, listen, daughter, you're going to try to rule over your husband. You're going to try to have it your way. Part of the fall, you're not... This will make you bad. This is reality. Because of the fall, women are going to try to have their own way. And men are going to lord it over them. Now, in Christian marriage, neither one of those things should happen. If somebody's the dominant, the bully, sit down and shut up. You don't need to be any of those things. I don't know if you had a parent who was, one of them was very dominant. That's not a good example to be brought up under. It never is. No, we're both submissive, we're both seeking the Lord, and then we're trying to, you know, figure out. Now, I've talked to many women, you know, and they said almost in so many words, if this big dumb ape that I sleep with would just do everything I said, my marriage would be perfect. Sister, wonderful sister, who I deeply care about, no. If he did everything you said, you wouldn't be married to a man, you'd be married to a mouse. If you got it your way, that you think you want it, no, that's not what you want. It's part of the fall. You think, I know what's best. Listen, it's still part of the fall. We still rebel against Jesus that way. You want me to do what, Lord? You want 10% of my what? Or you want me to abstain from what is going on here? Who do you think you are? Lord of the universe, sovereign of all? You're supposed to do what I tell you to. That's the deal. That's why I saved you. And it's because I love you. I want you to do this. You know, I just, you know, mentioned, like, for instance, tithing. I just alluded to that, 10%. You know what a wonderful thing that is? How it stops us from making money our God, and it puts God in his you know, the thing that would challenge him for number one in my life, I use that to worship him, to adore him, to magnify him. And it never becomes a problem with me wanting money and my whole life being about, you know, an alternative God, mammon. And God set up, isn't he wonderful? Isn't he so wise? And I say, oh, your tempers are right. You would tell me what. And I'm just digging my own grave further and further. Oh, wait, he's the Lord. I should do what he says. And then it works out good all the way around. Yeah, have we ever gone without since we started giving to God? Not really. Not ever. You know what I mean? So it's always been that he's just taking care of us. Listen, you can do what your husband asks of you. I don't know if I should even put it that way. Hey, I'm going this way. Follow me. And being the leader means I want you to imitate me in all that I do. I want you to have the spiritual life I have. If there's something I'm looking in my life, by the way, I'm very convicted about this, especially this week as we're studying these things out. If there's something in my life that isn't what God wants to be, I don't want you to follow that. Then now what am I saying? What am I saying? Do as I say, don't do as I do. And we all know how broken that is. Do you have a parent who smoked? Both mine did. Both mine did. Mom gave it up when I was a young person. But Dad smoked till, I think he was like 48, and he had a major heart attack and almost died. And then he gave it up. They took him down to the Veterans Hospital when it was in Augusta. And, he almost checked out because he was Catholic. They bought some priest and give him his last rites because they didn't think he was going to make it. And the doctor took his little cancer sticks away, threw them in a garbage can, said, if you make it through the night, you won't be needing these anymore. And so he quit smoking. Good for him, right? That was a good thing. But before that, he was always like, you know, these are bad for you. And he's like, you know, the hand that he's pointing, he's got the cigarette in it. And I'm thinking, don't do that. Don't be that. Don't say that. Listen, I want you to follow me. I want you to, I'm the leader. I want you to have your life like my life. I want your spiritual life to be like my life. And if, guys, if you ain't there, get there through the help of the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to imitate me. I want to lead. I want to lead you to a good place. I want to be the guy who says, hey, let's pray. We're going to church today. Hey, this is the church we're going to, or whatever it is. Again, does she have a say in this? She's my equal. I don't know if I preface this, but we're both created in the image of God. Back to line up under authority. When you're in the Marine Corps or the Army or the Navy or something like that, you see a officer, what do? Morning, sir. So you do. What am I doing? I don't even know him. I don't know his name. But I see the bars with a oak leaf or whatever it is, or stripes or whatever, and I salute. Because he's an officer in the Marine Corps. What happens? He salutes back. Why? Because I'm a Lance Corporal, Corporal Sergeant, whatever it is in the Marine Corps. We're both in the Marines. There's an equality there. Oh, but when we start to give orders, he's above me, and I understand that, so I have to obey the orders. We're both created in God's image. Men and women both are. But he's made me, when I say leader, I say the buck stops here. If my marriage isn't what it's supposed to be, you don't have to look any farther than me. The buck stops here. I'm the leader. That's how I look at it. Do I make wonderful decisions? Oh, my goodness, I try. Like I say, I have to have to answer for everything. Do I want to bring her in a place where she's later on going to say, yeah, that was not so smart. I hate that. So I have to, you know, try to prayerfully make good choices and stuff like that. And it's incumbent upon her to follow. I don't know any other way to say it. Now, if those two things are happening, I'm loving, she's following, bliss. Ain't God wise? It's easy, intellectually. Then our will's involved. It clouds the water a little bit. I had a couple other things I wanted to, while we're on the subject here. So I wrote them down so I didn't. Yeah, I want to, you know, so in our day and age, I've talked about, you know, this, and women's liberation will not like these verses, calling you women to be submissive. I have, there's parts of me that I like the thought, the theology of women's liberation in this. We're both created in the image of God. Where women aren't liberated in the world is where the gospel, by and large, hasn't been communicated. I can give you examples. Muslim countries is the first one that I can think of. You know, there's women's liberation still here in America, railing on us. Well, women should be this and women should be this. Like, shut up. Take your act to downtown Islamabad or Tehran and preach that message and get the whole world up to where we are, and then we'll all take a step forward. How about that? No, they're cowards. And they just are on us because we'll listen. There's not... When Paul, people think, oh, look at this misogynist. Oh, no, you have no idea what you're talking about. Women's liberation has no idea what they're talking about. When Paul was given this revolutionary treatment, a woman was seen as being owned by. A man could divorce a woman. A woman couldn't divorce a man. And he could divorce for any reason. Ah, she burned breakfast. You're out. Because he's been having his eye on this one anyway. And so this obsolete one, let's get rid of her. Women were seen as chattel, a cow. Very smart. She can cook and do lots of wonderful things, but basically. And now Paul comes along and says, no, you're both. creating the image of God, you miss so much stuff here. And where the gospel of Jesus Christ has touched, women are equals and should be. And should be. There's a very, very bad part about sexism. And so some people are hysterically one way too far. And so we almost instinctively go the other way too far to kind of get them back on track. But I don't want to go too far. I want to be right down the middle of the right road. And I have a mom, oddly enough, and sisters. I have, besides, Sue's in my life, I have a granddaughter. And I don't want to see women as second-class citizens in any way. Could a woman be president of the United States? Thankfully, not the last election cycle, but theoretically, yes. I would happily vote. There's a lot of women out there I would greatly vote for and endorse. Like I say, last time, not so much, but should a woman be, can a woman be a doctor or a lawyer or a head of a corporation? Yes, 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 yes. How about a pastor of a church? No. Adam, you're talking about both sides of your mouth. When God clearly says that the head of the house is the male, I'm okay with that. It'd be easy for me to let somebody make all the decisions, let thing go wherever it goes, but that's not what God's called. And I could be a chief or Indian. I've been both at work. I've been like the head of a department and things like this, and I'm the one who calls the shot and makes policy and stuff like this. Or I could be the Indian with the tools doing what I'm told. Whatever you want, Lord, in every situation. But as far as men having superiority over women, natural superiority, I don't see that at all. And now you're saying those all your equalities that go towards like military service and stuff? No. Women have served in military for years and years and years. God bless them. I think when you have someone who's like clerical and frees up a guy to get out there on the front line to carry a weapon, I think that was a good use of. I think that's a good thing. A woman in a foxhole with me. So here I am working. I'm working with other people, and I'm trying to sort all this out. And, I was working with a girl one time, and she was saying, I can do that. I know you could and stuff. And I'm still the kind of guy who will hold the door for a woman, not just my wife, any woman. I don't want to live in a world where chivalry's dead, and it kind of all but is in America. And, again, women's liberation is one of the reasons. But we're men, and we're gentlemen. And God's given us a place we're supposed to care for and take care of. And all he's asking women to do is line up behind the leader, who is your husband. And can you? I was going to cover this because I feel like there's someone going to, I'm going to leave something unsaid and someone's going to, because you know what happened? I was teaching this in a Sunday school class back in the day, and three women get up and stalked out of this. So two of them weren't even married. By the way, it's like, if you ain't married, shut up. You got nothing to say about this. And I mean that from the heart. You really don't. You just don't. You're not a wife. You know what it is to be a wife. You don't have a skin in the game. And the other one was, but I went, paint her as really picture of submission anyway. She ended up leaving her husband later on anyway. Big surprise there. But this is a beautiful thing. This is God's plan. It's a beautiful plan. We can't add to it. We can't fix it. It's a wonderful thing. It reaches the deepest needs of both genders, which aren't the same. And I just want to say, equal doesn't mean the same. It just means there's no one better, right? And he's established this order in the home, and it's a wonderful thing. And I'm a big fan. I don't know. Next week we'll talk about guys. Guys, be here. Don't punk out. I always felt like I'm real gentle with women because I'm a gentleman, and I don't think you have to be harsh. Hey, listen here, this is what you need to know, sister. Hey, who needs that, right? I have to have an attitude, just convey the thing. But brothers, it's different. I always feel like, come on, man up. Be the guy you're supposed to be. And I say that gentle or harsh. I try to say it as gentle as I can, but sometimes we don't respond. Anyway, next week we'll deal with the men's half. It's longer. It's longer. More to be said, actually. And I'm say this. I think we have the hot pot, guys. That's with the leader. I think that's the way it should be, right?